It's good to be with you this morning. I believe it's Earl, am I correct? Offered me one of the other, that Mark usually used, and I know Mark's a roamer, but I guess I said, well, I'm a stander, so I'll stay put. I don't really need that. But it is good to be with you this morning. And I told somebody, it'd probably feel better yet if I was just coming and visiting rather than if I was up here. I just trust this morning that as we share together that we will glean something from God's Word. And it's not what I have to say, but it's what God has to say through to us through His Word. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject of breaking out of our comfort zone. You know, children grow. They grow by leaps and bounds. You know, they ask all kinds of questions. And they're not afraid to make mistakes. You think of a child learning to walk. A child, how many times does that child fall before he finally learns to walk? You know, he gets up and he stumbles and he falls and he gets up and he falls and back and forth till he finally learns to walk. Then we also think of a child learning to talk. And you know, the words at first they come out funny and we laugh at them and so forth. But after a bit it starts sounding right and he learns to talk. And then he becomes more knowledgeable. And that's why he's always saying, why, Mommy? Why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? And on and on and on. There's all those why questions. But you know, when that's a child, but when we get as adults, and as people grow older, we become less willing to try new things. I'm speaking for myself here. We fear making mistakes. We fear being a failure. You know, perhaps we've fallen too many times. Perhaps We've felt the pain of getting hurt, and therefore we're not quite willing to risk or to try or to step out. So we, as a result of that, we become unwilling to step out. And we love our comfort zones. We like to stay where we feel comfortable. I like to stay where I feel comfortable. But you know, I believe Jesus said here in Mark 10, and let me read this verse. You don't need to turn to it. Mark 10:15. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Now, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God as a little child? When you think of a child, and we were talking about a child, but you think of a child, I think of a childlike faith. I think of a childlike trust. Children are very teachable. Children are very teachable. And they're very forgiving. You've seen them, the children are playing together and they get into a squabble and, you know, so they have this squabble, but it doesn't take long until they're soon playing together nice again. They're very forgiving. You know, and they believe what you tell them. When Daddy says, "Tom, I want to tell you John Deere's the best," they believe it. And, you know, and they tell their buddies that John Deere's the best. Sorry if there's any international people. I don't know if you have farmers here or not. We have a few at Cornerstone. But anyhow, you hear what I'm saying. They're very trusting. When a child's maybe standing on the tabletop or he's up at a high spot and Daddy says, "Jump," you know what? Maybe after a little coaxing him, he'll jump. And you know, brothers and sisters, I believe it's, they take their father at his word. And I believe there's a message there. And I believe when God says, you got to become like little children, he wants that same kind of trust that we place in our earthly father. He wants us to place that kind of a trust in Him, in our Heavenly Father. When God's Word says something, He wants us to believe it. He wants us to take Him at His Word. You know, we may not understand it all, but because God said it, we believe it. Whether it's a promise or it's some sort of pronounced judgment. So I believe receiving the kingdom of God like a child means being willing to move out of our comfort zone, being willing to try new things. Now, I'm not just talking about trying new things for the sake of trying new things, but I'm talking about trying things that God would want us to, areas that God would want us to step out of. You know, I'm not talking about putting God to some kind of a foolish test, that sort of thing. So what is a comfort zone? What would you say a comfort zone is? I believe a comfort zone is a place of safety. It's kind of a normal routine, maybe that we get into. For a comfort zone for a child, maybe crawling. It may be just pretty comfortable to crawl because you know when you're crawling, you don't fall. But we know that it's through him trying to walk. And so, you know, if he would have never stood up, never tried, and he fell a couple times, said, "Yeah, well, I guess that's not for me," and he would have given up. He never learned to walk. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that comfort zones for us as adults, comfort zones hinder evangelism and they hinder personal growth. Comfort zones hinder those things. You know, Jesus was continually challenging people to get out of their comfort zone. If you think about it, what about when Jesus sent out the 70 there in Luke 10? Jesus sent the 70 out and he gave them a few instructions when he sent them out. And he said, when you guys go out, he said, I don't want you to take your purse, your script, or your shoes. Now, I did a little checking. Purse, of course, would say, it'd be like, Claire, don't take your wallet along. Don't take money. And then he talks about the script. I thought, well, what's script? So I looked up, and I'm not sure if it was another translation or what it was, but it had the idea of a knapsack and possibly carrying extra food along. It said, don't pack a lunch. Don't take your wallet. Don't take a lunch. I'm sending you guys out, you know, and don't take shoes or whatever. You know, I'm saying Jesus, you know, and what if, I mean, I thought, well, what are we going to eat? You know, who's going to pay for the motel? Or, you know, I don't know if they had motels back then or not. But anyhow, you hear what I'm saying. But Jesus challenged them to get out of their comfort zone. Now, in Matthew 14, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Do you know what Jesus told the disciples before he did that miracle? If you check it out, you don't need to turn to it right now, but in Matthew 14, Jesus said that, you know, the disciples said, hey, guy, Jesus, you know, you really ought to send these people home. It's getting dark. We got to send them into town. You know, they can go to McDonald's or whatever, but they got to find some place to eat. Jesus, you got to send them out. What did Jesus say? He said, you feed them. Well, what do you think their expense? What do you think they thought? You feed them. That's exactly, if you check it out, he said, you know, and so then we know what happened. And Jesus ended up feeding the 5,000. The very same chapter, we have Peter walking on the water. And that's where I want to take my text from this morning. You can turn to Matthew 14. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew 14. I would like to begin reading at verse 22. This is the account of Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14, I'd like to begin reading at verse 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'd like to draw 3 points from these verses here this morning that talk about moving out of our comfort zone. And the very first point I would like to point out is that we need to face our fears. We need to face our fears. If you look there in verse 26, these guys were out in the boat. It's nighttime. The boat's really rocking. It's a storm. And all of a sudden, they see something. And they were scared stiff. Now, I believe in verse 26, they may have been scared by the storm, but that isn't what I see in verse 26. In verse 26, they thought they saw a ghost. You look at it. You look at it in verse 26. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. It's a ghost. And what did they see? Say, no problem. It says, they cried out for fear. They cried out of fear. And I don't know what it sounds like when a bunch of men are out in a boat and they cried out for fear. But I imagine it was an exciting time. I imagine it was. They were scared stiff. But just that quick, Jesus says, guys, relax. It's me. It's me. And he calms their fears. And Peter says, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Now, you know, as I think of a comfort zone, I look at that boat as a place of safety. The Bible doesn't say if Peter was afraid to get out of the boat. It really doesn't say that. There's nothing, you don't get the sense when you read the text that he was afraid to get out of the boat. But may I suggest this morning, I believe Peter had to face his fear and get out of the boat. The boat was his comfort zone. And I believe Peter was also probably, very likely on a spiritual high at this point, because verse 21, I started reading at verse 22, but they had just come off the feeding of the 5,000. And I have an idea. If any one of us would have witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 and we'd have got on the boat and we'd have started going just like they did, we probably couldn't have stopped talking about what we had just seen happen. I mean, just think about it. Here we were, ordinary guys, and the guy said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I had this dish of bread and I passed it into this row and, you know, it went out back and it came back the next row. And there was just as much in it. Well, each one had their sandwich. And, you know, and I can believe it was an awesome experience. So I believe Peter was at a spiritual high, so to speak, at that point. But he obviously demonstrates his faith here. He steps out of his boat, or he steps out of his comfort zone. Now, I want to make this clear. Peter did not leave his comfort zone until he was sure the Lord had called him. Peter did not leave his comfort zone until he was sure that the Lord had called him. Peter's reason for leaving the boat was obedience to a call. It was obedience to a call. We should be sure we're hearing God's call and not making up our own. I think it's just something that we need to, obviously there are certain commands in the scripture that obviously we don't need to hear further. We need to just obey them. But I think it's important that we make sure we're hearing God's call. In verse 29, when Jesus said, come, the commentary suggested that there was two reasons, and I'm going to say there was at least two reasons that Jesus told Peter to come. And the first one is that he would know Christ's power. That he would know Christ's power. That he could see, Peter could actually see, Christ's power kept him afloat. Not just afloat, but walking on the water. And the other thing that I believe Jesus wanted Peter to see was Peter's own weakness. Peter's own weakness. You know, his humanness and his need to depend on Christ. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, he says, without me, he says, you can do nothing. But here in verse 30, then, the picture changes a bit. We see Peter's faith weakening. And his faith gave way to fear when he took his eyes off Christ. Faith gives way to fear when we take our eyes off Christ. You know, we can look at a difficult situation, whatever it may be, with two sets of eyes. We can look at them through the eye of human reasoning and sense, and we can say, man, it is bad. It is really bad. You know, and we can get scared and all that kind of thing. Or we can look at a difficult situation with the eyes of faith, trusting God's word, trusting in things like, lo, I am with you always. Or, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. That sort of thing. So, you know, we can look at things trusting in God's precepts and his promises, or we can look at things through the eye of human reasoning. But it's the eye of faith that is so important. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So faith is so important. Hebrews 11 tells us, Hebrews 11, verse 6, says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Queen Esther, another example of someone who left her comfort zone. You know the story, probably most of you know that story. Haman had just received permission to destroy the Jews. Mordecai hears about it, and he gets word to Esther and says, Esther, you need to intercede for your people. You need to intercede, Esther. Esther had to face her fears. Do you know what Esther's fear was? I'm not going to take the time to turn to it. But Esther knew that if she goes in to the inner court, not called, not summoned by the king, that she could be put to death. You see, it was comfortable over on Esther's side of the palace. It was comfortable. She was cared for. But here she needed to face her fear and step out. She had it good over there, but because she faced her fear, and the Jews were spared. Fear will keep us in a circle of what is predictable and comfortable. I believe it's fear that kept the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Fear kept the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness 40 years. It was an inappropriate sort of comfort zone. When it was time to enter the promised land, and you probably know the story there as well, and I'm not going to turn to it. But you know, as you think of the children of Israel and what they had all just gone through within the last year or so, they had seen incredible miracles. They had seen the plagues of Egypt. They had seen frogs like they never saw frogs before. Or you name it. They had seen the Red Sea separate. They had seen water come out of a rock and drank it. They saw manna. They saw quail. They saw all kinds of things. Incredible miracles. But here they are. God's ready to take them into the promised land. They're up to the border waiting to get in, so to speak, and they send out the spies. They send out the spies. The spies all come back and they say, it's a good man, it's a good land. Every last one agreed on that. But we know 10 came back and said, man, it's nice, but there is no way. There is no way. There's giants there. There's giants there. You know, I had to think of David. You know, when David was talking to Saul about going to fight Goliath, do you remember what he did? When he talked to Saul, what did he say? He said, Saul, he said, when I was out taking care of my dad's sheep, he said, there was a lion came up, and there was a bear came up, and I killed them both. And he said, I'm ready to take on Goliath. He was building on those past experiences. He said, I remember God's faithfulness in the past. He helped me with that, and he'll help me with this. And you know, we can look at the children of Israel and say, well, why didn't they do the same? They could have been, here they were on the border of Canaan. But they didn't look back. Oh yes, wait, I'm wrong. They did look back. I want to talk about that. But they could have looked back at the miracles. They could have looked back. You know what? They did look back. They looked back, and it's kind of a dumb kind of looking back in my human, you know, as I look at it. But in Exodus 1, I'm not going to turn to it, but in Exodus 1, it says there that the children of Israel were made to serve with rigor. That's how it's worded in King James. That word rigor there means cruelty and severity. They look back, and that's what they had come out of, remember? Now, here we've got them at this point. And they come back and the 10 say, we can't do it. And they're all stressed out about it. And they're thinking back to Egypt. And they said, Numbers 14, I believe it is. Numbers 14 tells us, they said, let's go back. I wish we'd have died there. That's what they said. Let's go back. I wish we would have died there. You know, we can look at them and we can say, how stupid, how dumb, what ailed them? Let's be careful we don't throw too many stones at them, dear people. There's a verse in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, I believe it is. And it impressed me different times when I read that verse. You know, sometimes, and I'll just throw this out as a challenge to you. Sometimes we can read the Old Testament and we can feel like it doesn't apply to us or whatever. And we say, why all this? But you know, in the margin of my Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in the margin of my Bible, it says, warnings from Hebrew history. And it's talking about what the children of Israel had experienced in the wilderness, if you read the context of those verses. But then it also says in verse 6, it says, these things were our examples. You know, brothers and sisters, they're written. It's an example for us, for the church, for the New Testament. I believe it even, I forget how the rest of that verse goes, but I think it says even, it refers to unto the end of the world are come. I forget how it's worded, but there's a verse. Anyhow, the thought is that it's for us. These examples and what they went through, lest we throw too many stones and we look at the children of Israel and we say, how dumb, how stupid. But yet it's so easy for us to fall back into the same thing that they did. Fear does strange things to people when they want to go back. You know, maybe, brothers and sisters, as I think of comfort zones, it says, why do we want to go back to that which is predictable when we face something new and frightening? You know, and I see that's exactly what was happening there. They wanted to go back to what was familiar. And we look at it and we say it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, think about it now. Just think with me this morning. Say you've been asked to teach Sunday school and you never taught Sunday school before. Or maybe you've been asked to have devotions. Or maybe you've been asked to serve on a committee. And if you've never done devotions before, it's a scary thing. I know last Sunday morning at Cornerstone, one guy got up to have devotions, and he said, boy, you know, basically, he didn't say I'm out of my comfort zone, but he basically said, I'd feel much better with a guitar in my hand. But he had devotions. I'm saying, there's an example where he was saying, I'm out of my comfort zone. But, you know, brothers and sisters, it's in those comfort zones. When we get out of our comfort zone, it's a way that God may want to use us and help us to grow. Now, no, not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a preacher or you name it. But yet, I think it's important that when God opens the doors that we are obedient to him. You know, and one thing I want to point out is that God's word never promised that his way would be easy. Now, maybe you say, but wait a minute, Claire. What about that verse that says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? I don't believe that verse means that being the Christian life is going to be an easy thing. If you talk, maybe I think it would maybe help us understand that a little bit is, I believe the devil's yoke is hard. Christ's yoke is easy. His burden is light. I believe what he's talking about there, he says also the verse before that would be Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. And that whole idea of taking Christ's yoke on us is to enter into submission to his will. So God gives us opportunities to grow. Sometimes they're scary. They're risky. But we need to face our fears. We need to stop running from them and don't give in. Peter did fine at walking on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Christ. And that brings me to my second point. To move out of our comfort zone, we need to focus on Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, it's so easy for me, it's so easy for Claire to focus on the storm. So easy to focus on the storm. We can focus on maybe how bad we've had it, or how unfair life is, or why do I have to go through this sickness, or why do I have to go through this difficulty or this financial hardship, and the list can go on and on. But you know, brothers and sisters, when we focus on the storm, our fears grow and our faith weakens when we focus on the storm. When we focus on the storm, our fears grow and our faith weakens. What storms might you be facing this morning? What storms might you be facing this morning? Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's something internal. Maybe you say, well, right now things are pretty good. Enjoy it, because there's probably storms coming. You're either probably came out of a storm, or you're in one, or you're headed to one. That's kind of how it works. From time to time, it just seems like that's how life is. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. Peter was fine as long as his focus was right. You know, some people are unwilling to focus on Christ. And there's a sad story, and it's a familiar story to us, and it's in Mark chapter 10. You don't need to turn to it, but it's the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler had a comfort zone around his finances. He had a comfort zone around his finances. I wonder if he lived in Lancaster County. Doesn't say. But I wonder. I wonder. You know, we're not all asked to do what the rich young ruler was asked to do. We're not all asked to do that. But Jesus could see his heart, and he knew that the greatest obstacle to this man was his possessions. He knew that. And Jesus told that man, he said, to get the life that you're looking for, to get the life that you really want, you need to lay this aside. You need to move out of this comfort zone. You need to let go of your possessions because they've got a hold on you. And he said, fine, no problem, I'll do that. Is that what he said? No. He went away sorrowful. It says he went away grieved, I believe King James says it. He was grieved. He was sad at the saying. And that's how he left. That's how he left. A man of wealth. But you know, there's another man of wealth that I want to talk about just for a little bit. And it's another familiar Bible story, but it's the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a man of position. He was a man of power. We would say he was respected in the... Maybe he wasn't respected. He demanded respect. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. He demanded respect. You know, and I had to think, well, now how? You know, we don't think of tax collectors necessarily. Yeah, we pay our taxes. Maybe we do think of tax collectors. But I wasn't thinking of a tax collector. I was thinking, what would, you know, as I think of a man of position, they'd say, well, maybe today we'd say he was a lawyer or he was an attorney or he was somebody that, you know, he was dressed up in a suit and a tie all the time and he was a white-collar guy, so to speak. But, you know, when I read that story, he had a problem. He was a short man with a big crowd. We know the story. You children know the story. You know what happened to Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do? Somebody, one of you children, tell me. Raise your hand. What did Zacchaeus do? Anybody remember back there?
He climbs up a tree.
You're exactly right. He climbed up a tree. And you know what? I just say, look, here was a man who was a respectable man, but he stepped out of his comfort zone. He stepped out of the safety of respectability, so to speak. And he climbed up a tree to see Jesus. He climbed up a tree to see Jesus. He laid aside the fears of what other people might think. Whew, that's a nasty one for me. What will other people think? Does that bother anybody in the southern end of the county? What do other people think? Brothers and sisters, if somehow we could just get a grip on things and say, What does God think? Somehow, if we could just get a hold of that one. What does God think? Zacchaeus stepped out of his comfort zone. He focused on Jesus, and he was a changed man. He was a changed man. Because you know what happened? After he had an encounter with Jesus, and it doesn't say what all they talked about. But Jesus said, half of the things that I've got, I'm going to give to the poor. It doesn't say Jesus told him to do that. He said, half of what I give to the poor. And he said, if I ripped anybody off, I'm going to straighten it out. I'm going to give them good measure. You see, his focus on Jesus made quite a difference in his life. I want to talk a little bit here about Moses yet. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Hebrews 11. A few verses here. There's so many people, many scriptures where people left their comfort zones. Hebrews 11, I want to read verses 24 through 27 here, talking about Moses. See, Moses left the comfort zone of the palace. Moses grew up in Pharaoh, in the palace in Egypt. But let me just begin reading at Hebrews 11, verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, And this last phrase is what I want you to see. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Tells you a little bit about Moses' focus. Now, we know Moses wasn't a perfect man. We know he got into problems. But I like that. What we look at what all Moses went through, and I believe it says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His focus was right. It was on Christ. If you see there, verse 25 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than what he had in Egypt. His focus was right. It was on Christ. Well, Hebrews 11 talks about a lot of people who left their comfort zones. I'm not going to look at them anymore, but to leaving our comfort zone, to move out of our comfort zone, first of all, we need to face our fears. We need to focus on Jesus. And thirdly, the third point is we need to be willing to make mistakes. We need to be willing to make mistakes. I want to talk about Peter for a little bit. Peter in the Gospels, we could look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'm just going to talk about Matthew. In the book of Matthew, Peter is mentioned in 24 verses. 11 of those times, Peter is either saying the wrong thing, or he's doing the wrong thing, or he's missing the mark. 24 times he's mentioned, and 11 of those times, it's kind of in a negative sense, so to speak. He was missing the mark. In our text, Peter fails at walking on the water. But brothers and sisters, Jesus had more to say about Peter. In Matthew 16, verse 18, he said about Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What did Jesus see in Peter? What did Jesus see in Peter? I believe he saw a man who wasn't wearing a mask. He saw somebody who wasn't putting on a front. I think, as I look at Peter, I see soft clay. I think of pliable. Jesus could work with Peter, and he could shape him, and he could mold him. He was a man who was willing to grow. He was a man who could move beyond his mistakes. There was things in Peter's life that I'm sure he regretted terribly. But he moved on. Peter walked on the water. But you know, brothers and sisters, that wasn't the greatest thing Peter did. That was not the greatest thing Peter did. You go over to Acts chapter 2 and you see what Peter did. Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and he preached the word and thousands got saved. Brothers and sisters, that's a whole lot more important than walking on water. That's a whole lot more important. Peter's mentioned a lot of times in the New Testament after that. He was a different man. He wasn't perfect, but he was different. He was more mature. I believe God wants us to move out of our comfort zones, and I don't believe it's simply to make us uncomfortable. I don't think that's the idea behind it, to just make us uncomfortable, but I believe he knows that when people move out of their comfort zones, he's able to use that to help us to grow in Christ, grow spiritually. And I believe the other thing, brothers and sisters, he wants to get out of our comfort zones so he can use us in his kingdom as it relates to evangelism. I believe our comfort zones are one of the greatest hindrances to evangelism, to be quite honest with you. Who suffers when I refuse to leave my comfort zone? Who suffers? I do. And I believe the people that God wants me to reach out to suffer. And that's sobering when you think of evangelism. When you think of reaching out to other people, if I'm just unwilling to do it, it's a sobering thought. I want to read a verse from Esther. You don't need to turn to it, but how important was it that Esther left her comfort zone? I want to read Esther 4, verse 14. It says, "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" What are your comfort zones this morning? What are your comfort zones this morning? As you think about it, Are they financial? Is it your job? Maybe it's in the area of relationships, an unwillingness to reach out. Maybe you feel like, yeah, I should be getting involved with that person in the community, but it'd be so much easier. I think of a situation right now, to be honest with you, back home. There's somebody, a situation at Cornerstone where a person is reaching out. It's actually a person on our outreach committee, and he's dealing with it. It's a difficult situation. It's very difficult. It would be so much easier to stay home and not have to deal with it. But I'm just saying, is that a comfort zone? Maybe your home's a comfort zone. Maybe, on the other hand, maybe God wants to use your home. Maybe he wants you to invite people in through hospitality. Maybe Lancaster County's your comfort zone. Maybe it's Pennsylvania. Maybe it's the U.S. I don't know where God's calling you or what your comfort zone is. Maybe God's blessed you with a special talent, but you're unwilling to use it, or an ability. You may ask, well, should I never feel comfortable? I mean, I like to feel comfortable. I do. You know, I had to think, we have, every now and then we do door-to-door evangelism in Ephrata. And I told the congregation back home, and I'll tell you, I said, that makes me feel very uncomfortable. I'm out of my comfort zone. It's hard for me to go up and knock on a door and try to talk to somebody about the Lord or to strike up a conversation. It scares me half to death. I'm the preacher. I'm the lead one. What's that mean? A scared lead pastor. It's scary, isn't it? Should I never feel comfortable? Are there any legitimate comfort zones? You might say, well, if I'm serving the Lord and I feel like I'm where he wants me to be, shouldn't I feel comfortable there? And I would say, yeah, I think to a certain degree we should. But I think what God is, what applies to all of us is that if we are where God wants us to be, I still believe God wants us to be on the cutting edge, not to become stagnant or stale. Brothers and sisters, we are to never get comfortable. We are to never get comfortable with the things that ought not feel comfortable. We are to never get comfortable with the things that ought not feel comfortable. Don't get comfortable with what God doesn't want us feeling comfortable about, in other words. That's a challenge for all of us, but I believe it's a place of blessing. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word, and I just pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would be the after teacher. Lord, I pray that you would minister to each of our hearts in whatever area that you may be speaking to this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.